What are the things that you fear that's been keeping you from living your dream? That's been keeping you from doing some things that you would like to do? Just think about those things.
Every time your voice speaks and thinks about having something new, fear is there to squash it. Every time you want to try something new, fear is there to squash it. Every time you want to go somewhere new, fear is there to squash it. The big problem I see in the world today is that too many people are letting fear always win these inner conflicts.
Every single person out there listening to this right now is afraid of the what ifs. They're afraid of what might happen. They're afraid of, what if I do this and it doesn't happen? Nobody knows what's going to happen. I don't know. You don't know. We don't know.
What if you don't do it? What if you don't chase your dreams? What if you don't stand up for yourself? What if you do not step up to the plate and take that challenge?
So it's not being afraid of the unknown. It's going into the unknown with reckless abandon, waving your head, saying, holy, I'm going to kick some ass today. And when that comes, you kick its ass too. That's what being successful is about.
You face your fears, you become the person you want to be. You run from your fears, you're not living. You're alive, but you're not taking it to freedom. If you face your fears, guys, that fear is destroyed. It comes back in as confidence. What else am I capable of? What else am I holding my back from? Where am I running from? I don't need to. What else can I overcome?
Fear is looking too far ahead. Focus on the next step and not the staircase, the next obstacle. Look at the amount of obstacles as opportunities to succeed, not to fail. There is no such thing as failure. There is only exhaustion. Not showing up is failing. Don't be afraid of the finish line and welcome the starting block, and you will overcome the fear and uncertainty one step at a time.
The absence of fear, it is moving forward in spite of it. I have to have the courage. And let me tell you something, most Americans don't have this kind of courage. I have to have the courage to stop making excuses.
Who are you right now? And who must you become in order to create what you want? What has to change about you? What is it that you're doing right now that would be a liability for you? As you begin to look toward the future and take inventory of yourself, what is it about you right now that you've got to leave this behind? Because this no longer fits. Looking at where you want to go, and the kind of person that you must become, the kind of standards that you have for you. What is it that you must do differently?
Life, you thought you had me down. But this is the moment I change my mind. I won't let anything keep me down.
No matter how many times I fail, no matter how many times I feel rejected, embarrassed, down, out, I will not give up. I will keep at it until my greatest fear dies. I will stand toe-to-toe with fear. Fear will die.
Nobody's journey is seamless or smooth. We all stumble. We all have setbacks. If things go wrong, you hit a dead end, as you will. It's just life's way of saying, time to change course. So ask every failure, this is what I do. Every failure, every crisis, every difficult time, I say, what is this here to teach me?
Instead of focusing on how unfair your situation is, I'm challenging you to use your frustration to push you harder. I want you to know that you are not finished. In fact, you are just getting started.
If you don't learn how to master the breaking point, you may have many ventures, but you will not accrue massive success in any area because you have not mastered the breaking point.
You're never just a victim of circumstances. No matter what happens, you're never without options that can get you back on the track. It takes courage to recognize that, because it means accepting responsibility for your own future. But I would suggest that we should accept that responsibility, because no one is really going to accept it for us, no matter what we may have been led to believe.
It takes courage to act. Part of being hungry when you've been defeated, it takes courage to start over again.
Yes, we have those ups and downs. But in the end, your success, your happiness, your greatness comes from within.
I wanted to be somebody so bad, it just ate me up inside. It was in my bones, it was in my blood, it was in my heart. I want to be somebody. You've got to have standards in your life. You've got to have rules you live by. Discipline, the definition, is doing what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it.
Begin to know that whatever it takes for you to create that, you've got that in you. You've got that. You've got genius in you. You've got goodness in you. You've got creativeness in you. If you decide to take the initiative to change the current quality of your life, I say to you that you will find that the universe is on your side.
There's a lesson in this story. So many things are trying to come to you. So many doors are trying to open, but we're so attached to who we've been that we can't quite become all of who we're supposed to be.
So what are you saying to yourself? Support. There's no coach, there's no trainer to keep you going. It's only you. The whole thing is this. Don't say a word. Stay uncommon amongst uncommon people. You're never done. Don't stop when you're tired. Stop when you're done. Stay hard.
Discomfort is a funny thing. We all do our best to avoid it, and most of us attempt some form of personal development precisely because we want lives with less discomfort and more serenity, ease, and enjoyment. This goes back to the assumption that we shouldn't suffer, ever. And if we do, we should act in whatever way is necessary to end it. We think, this discomfort is unbearable. I hate it and want it to stop. Something is wrong. But is it? Is your reason for not wanting to exercise self-discipline related only to mere discomfort and nothing actually harmful? You want to answer no here, otherwise you are admitting that you melt faster than an ice cube in summer. Consequently, you may realize how much you disempower yourself. Let's talk about going to the neighborhood gym. Almost anybody who's in decent physical shape, it stands to reason, has probably conquered most of their self-consciousness about working out in public and has no problem sweating it out in the presence of strangers. For those who aren't top physical specimens, the story can be quite different. Exercising can make them uncomfortable for a myriad of reasons. From the moment they get on a treadmill, they may feel like they're being watched and judged. If they try to do an arm curl, they may feel embarrassed or timid in the presence of someone who's obviously done thousands of them. If they're trying to work off the paunch around their stomach, they may feel that other people are watching and appraising them harshly. This is, of course, ignoring the muscular fatigue and soreness that can follow. Thus, for someone who is debating going to the gym, is mere discomfort holding them back, or is it the prospect of real harm? That's the crux of the third. Yes, no question. Do I not want to do this just because it makes me feel uncomfortable? Or is this actually having a negative, harmful effect on me? I'm willing to bet that 99 times out of 100, the answer is yes. It's merely uncomfortable. You are being pushed out of your comfort zone. You will suffer a bit mentally. Your body will grow sweaty and fatigued. Your brain will be exercised to its full capacity. You may experience some negative emotions such as stress and anxiety. You will recover just fine without lasting repercussions. This is all discomfort and then nothing. So are you the type of person to pack it in just because you're uncomfortable? Feel free to slide down the slippery slope of what kind of person that might make you. Your worst case scenarios and wild justifications are just providing a flimsy reason to avoid discomfort. In fact, they're nothing more than mental illusions. This question forces you to face a shame that you are easily stopped by discomfort. Discomfort has and never will be a legitimate reason to not exercise self-discipline. And thus, this shame should propel you into action. This is a question where the yes-no dichotomy is particularly effective. every single thing we do to better ourselves, to affect positive change in our lives, is going to involve some measure of inconvenience, discomfort, or fatigue, at least in the beginning. It might even involve minor pain, especially if you're working out for the first time. But are any of those consequences inherently harmful? Do they really undermine our integrity, threaten our health, compromise our sanity? No, they don't. There are 1,000 cliches that reflect that truth, like no pain, no gain. Effecting real change in your life is going to involve a measure of discomfort. I can't think of any kind of emotional, physical, spiritual, or occupational change that doesn't entail some irritation, soreness, inconvenience, or bother. If they didn't, everybody would do it. Think about this question with everything you do that's causing you some measure of discomfort. You have the choice to be lazy and weak, spirited, or get into action. Why should you do something you really don't want to do? Life is a complicated enough affair as it is. Why weigh it down even more with something that you just don't want to experience or put effort toward things that make you miserable to any degree, even if they will result in positive consequences? What's the difference? Don't you have free will? What about living for carpe diem and truly living life because you're only young once? Those are all true. But now imagine people who do not have your range of options. Some people have to do things that nobody else wants to do to make ends meet. They work menial or strenuous jobs or work multiple jobs because they absolutely have to. Some of them have to take care of entire families, which might restrict them from things they really want to do. In fact, they may be so busy or preoccupied that they don't have time to even think about what they really want to do. They have no time for anything except working, eating, and sleeping. They indeed have the proverbial gun to their head, and then they have to do that every day of the week. Some of them may be perfectly content with this. Maybe they find meaning in what they do, and that's enough for them. That is respectable. You, however, by virtue of being able to hem and haw and procrastinate, are in a position of privilege to have the choices they don't. The chores and tasks you have to endure to get to the goal you want to reach are opportunities they do not have. They'd love to have the time to learn a foreign language, develop a knowledgeable appreciation for art, or spend time learning to communicate with their loved ones. They'd also love the choice to not do something they need to do. They just don't have the ability or time. You do. And not to be mean, but let's be honest. If a longshoreman heard you complaining about the leg cramps you got while doing sit-ups, he might think you're being a little, well, ridiculous. He has no choice but to wake up at 5 a.m. each day and work until 8 p.m. How's that for a bit of perspective? Surely you can push a bit harder in the gym. Surely you can make the bed every morning. Surely that darn car can finally get washed. The answer to this question then is hopefully no. It's not a good excuse for anything. Everybody does something they don't want to do from time to time, but some people don't have the opportunity to do anything else. Turn that realization into a sense of gratitude that you can do it. That's not just the right way to be either. It will give you a positive outlook because it's impossible to feel gratitude and negativity at the same time. Spend some time thinking about people who have to do those arduous or dreadful jobs every day of their lives. Write them down in a list if you have to. Then put yourself in proper perspective about the pesky discomforts or chores you have to do to get to your goal. Your being able to do those annoying things is actually a great freedom. These things you want to avoid are only drudgery if you choose to see them that way. Coming at a task from a mindset of gratitude versus dread will create vastly different outcomes. In the grand scheme of things, you're not asking all that much of yourself, and the end result will be far more worthy of your mental energy than what you spend to complain about them.